Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, Podalters. Happy New Year. And welcome to Adulting. In this week's episode, I am speaking to me, myself, and I. This is the second time I'm doing a solo episode. The guest I had planned for this weekend could no longer make it, so I thought that I would step in and basically interview myself using some questions that you sent over on Instagram, on my stories, and also some dilemmas of yours as well. So it's going to be like half ask me anything, half confessions, dilemmas, a bit of me and a bit of you. Oh, I can't believe 2021 has begun, but I'm still so tired from 2020, especially from New Year's Eve. Matt and I had a party in our flat. I was like, I really just want it to feel like a party. I often feel like New Year's Eve's actually really overrated, and it's meant to be kind of like the biggest night of the year, and you always end up like so drunk that you kind of miss the countdown, or something happens, or I don't know. It never seems as fun as, like, say, a spontaneous night out. But this New Year's Eve might genuinely have been the best New Year's Eves of our life. We got really dressed up. We ordered sushi. We made espresso martinis. We danced loads. I think just some really good playlists on Spotify. Lots of R&B. Lots of, like, 90s. And it was just so much fun. And we went to bed at, like, 12:30, which is the other amazing thing. Because if you're at home, you don't have to go anywhere. But I honestly am still hungover. So I think that I'm going to pretend that the real New Year starts on Monday, the day after this comes out, because, you know, you can't really start a New Year on a weekend. It's just not quite right. So the 4th for me is going to be the beginning of the year, because I have been doing a lot of sleeping this weekend. I'm so tired. And I want to be kind of like back into a good routine, on it with my work, but it's kind of hard to get into that good mindset, isn't it, when you know that you're still semi in lockdown. It kind of feels less of a fresh start. I'm trying to do positive thinking and get excited about 2021. So I got off that ramble, bit of a ramble. I'm going to look at your questions. Now, I haven't proofread any or like picked any that I'm going to answer. I'm just going to go through them and have a look. And the first one is pretty deep. It is there anything you would change about your life? God, that's a big opener. I don't really know if there's anything I'd change about my life, but maybe I would change things about me. But then that's kind of like in my control. God, this is deep for a start. Like, I wish I want to get back into being in a really good routine. I feel like 2020 kind of pulled the rug out from under my feet when it came to routines, because my diary kept getting changed around and things kept getting cancelled and work kept getting postponed. And so I think maybe taking a bit more control and trying to be a bit more steady, irrespective of how much everything is maybe being a bit chaotic around me, that's something I would change. But I'm a little bit... what's the word? Not spiritual, but I'm a bit nervous that if I change something, even hypothetically in a question about my life, that it would like irrevocably change something that I love, you know, like a butterfly effect. So I don't ever think that I would say I would change anything about my life, but I wish that I could grow to be a better person. And then I think that would make my life better. Oh my God, I'm so nervous about listening back to this. It's really hard doing this on your own, because it's so nice having someone else to respond to on a podcast. And also, you have less responsibility in having to carry so much of the conversation. I'm just worried about, without having someone else there, I'm just going to chat loads of crap. Probably likely. Okay. Second question. What was your favorite moment of 2020 and your hardest moment of 2020? So I think maybe my favorite moment of 2020 was when I got up on stage and did stand up for the second time in my life. That was quite the end of the year though, with Grace Campbell. We did our comedy shows, and it was just so exciting to do something that felt like a massive achievement in a year of kind of, like I said, cancellations. I'm sure there were other amazing moments. Matt and I had some really fun moments right at the beginning of the first lockdown when it kind of, it felt very novel, and we just moved, he moved into my flat with me. So that was really fun. And then we moved in together as well into like our own flats. So that felt like a big moment. I honestly, I don't know about anyone else, but when it comes to like remembering what happened last year in 2020, I actually really can't remember a lot of things that happened. I feel like my memory is kind of like, I can only remember what happened sort of like last week and also pre-pandemic. So I can remember January, February, the beginning of March very well. And then it all kind of smushes together. There were lots of amazing moments in 2020, but I also did have some quite difficult moments. It was the worst my mental health has ever been. And I think that's just because there was lots of time for reflection and rumination. And I just really struggled, I'm sure like so many other people did. And there were other kind of like personal things that happened, which were really difficult. So it's weird. I guess what's interesting about it is there was definitely, everything was kind of either very high or very low. I guess that's what it felt like for me. It was my most sort of volatile year in terms of good things and bad things happening. I kind of prefer it when it's a bit more steady. I guess 2020 just felt like everything was thrown into the extreme. Maybe just because we were in such a blank canvas or everything around us was so abnormal that the things that happened to us personally or professionally felt even greater or more difficult. I don't know if that makes sense. Okay, next question. All-time favorite song, album, and why? I always say that Dancing in the Moonlight, Top Loader, is my favorite song. I've just kind of always said that. It definitely is a song that I love, but I've kind of like over-listened to it when I kind of started getting Spotify. Because when I was younger, you know, do you remember when you would only kind of hear songs if you had to seek them out on a CD or if it happened to come on the radio, and then it'd be so exciting when you hear it? I kind of have done that thing where I've over-listened to nostalgic music and it's kind of making it lose its magic a tiny bit. So I usually would have said Dance in the Moonlight by Top Loader. I think I still would say that. I also would say Believe by Cher. Is it called Believe? I'm just Googling it to double check. I'm fairly certain it's called Believe. Yeah. That Matt and I always say that's our song because, well, actually, Matt probably like, no, that's what you say. Because like a few years ago on our friend's birthday, we were dancing in Bunga Bunga. I don't know if you know, it's like a bit of a shit club, but it's like really fun for dancing. And Believe by Cher came on and we were like singing it at the top of our voices. And I love dancing with Matt. And I can only convince him to dance with me if he's really drunk. I love dancing, even though I'm really bad. And we had so much fun. And we were like quite early on in our relationship. So ever since then, I've always said that Believe by Cher is our song. So probably those, I know that's not an album. I don't know. I love loads of different music. I do love all of Amy Winehouse, probably Back to Black might be my favorite album. Yeah. What is my favorite book that I read this year and why? Another good question. I only managed to read only. It was good. I was meant to be reading 52 books. I think I read 37. I'm going to set myself the challenge of reading 52 again this year. And hopefully I'll do it. So the book that kind of comes to the front of my mind is the ones that I enjoyed the most were City of Girls by Elizabeth Gilbert. I think because it was all about partying and glamour and being in New York. And I think that at the time when I was reading it, when we were in lockdown, I think that it was just such escapism and it's like full of life and it's, oh, I can't even explain it, but that's, I kind of think I'd read it again. It was such a joy to read. So it's basically about these showgirls living in Manhattan in the 40s and like one is a seamstress and she makes dresses for the others. And it's like, it's really, I love the way that Elizabeth Gilbert writes anyway. I can remember a line from the book, actually. There's one bit where she goes, I was so young, I was so freshly hatched, I basically still had yolk in my hair or something like that. And I remember thinking, oh my God, I wish I could write like that. Such a gorgeous line. So out of all the books I think I read this year, one that brought me kind of the most joy and escapism, I would say is either City of Girls or also The Most Fun We Ever Had. Who was that by? By Claire Lombardo. That was also amazing, but slightly more in our time. So the City of Girls is really kind of feels nostalgic for me for a life that I didn't live, and you kind of wish you were living through that time. And The Most Fun We've Ever Had is more kind of realistic, I guess, in a way. And then all of the books I've read, by the way, are on my Instagram. If you don't follow my Instagram, I have a highlight there. I'm just trying to think of what other ones that really kind of hit home for me. I loved Girl, Woman, Other, like everyone else, by Bernardine Evaristo. I'm going to stick with those three because you only asked me about one, but I couldn't pick one. What has been a blessing in Kelowna? God, Corona / over lockdown. I think a blessing has been my friendships. I think it's shown me how amazing all of my friends are and made me desperately, more than anything, want to see my friends and my family. I speak to my mum and my sister. I have two sisters, but one of my sisters is in Australia, so we don't get to speak to as much, literally because of the time difference. But one of my sisters and my mum, we honestly FaceTime like 3 times a day. Actually, we do it on WhatsApp. We had a group, and then you do like a group chat, and it's really fun. So we talk constantly, and my friends like just realize how much I love them. And I knew that anyway, but I guess sometimes I can get really kind of focused on my career. I'm quite like not obsessed with my career, but I'm very like, I guess if I had to pick something that I'm always thinking about, it's, and I don't think I realized this before, like I'm really, really want to do very well in my career. And sometimes that makes you not recognize that how amazing some of the things you already have around you are, like your friendships and stuff. And I guess taking, like, my work has slowed down tremendously this year. I think it made me realize how amazing my friends are and how much I love them. So that is something that would be a blessing. What is something that you're looking forward to in 2021? Good question. I'm looking forward to really boring things, just like I think someone's probably going to ask me about my resolutions, so maybe I should answer this differently. I basically just want to feel myself. I think last year I really felt out of sorts in lots of ways, and I want to feel in control. So in 2021, I'm looking forward to being like, right, whatever happens this year now, whether or not it's going in and out of lockdowns, whether or not it's a repeat of last year, now it's kind of like the shock factor's worn off and we've just got to get on with it. And I want to be able to shape myself around whatever external factors are impacting me, because I felt like I just handled it so badly last year. So I think I'm looking forward to just getting on with shit in a better way than I did last year. Okay, next question. What do you think you would have done if Insta, etc., hadn't worked out? I think I maybe would have ended up trying to get into journalism. I think that I definitely would have done personal training because I was becoming a PT as my Instagram was growing. And I did that for a bit in London. And I think I would have done that for a bit. I think I always would have maybe realized it wasn't quite right for me. I loved it, but I think it's not where my passions are. What I find really interesting, I guess, about health and fitness and exercise is the psychology behind it and how, you know, like working out can make you feel really amazing. I think that a lot of personal training is almost like counseling, and I loved that side of things, whereas actually I think the physical nature of people just wanting to lose weight and that constantly being something that you're evaluating over time, I think I would have found that quite stressful. So I think I would have still had a bit of a lumpy career, and that I would have tried lots of things out. I don't know where I would have landed, but I would imagine that it would be in something not too dissimilar from what I do now, just perhaps with a smaller platform, perhaps working for someone else rather than being freelance. I think I'm in the right place. It's just how I would have got there. It probably would have been very different. Thoughts on marriage. I get this question all the time. I used to be kind of quite like, I don't want to get married because I'm too feminist. And now I am kind of less, I just think that there's different fights within feminism, and that actually you can be married and have very strong feminist values and then not be aligned. I guess I want to get married more now if we end up staying together, because Matt really likes the idea of marriage and it's very like important to him. So that's kind of made me soften on that and think actually it would be nice. I guess I don't feel like too strongly either way. It's more about how you define marriage and how you like kind of carry it out and what the wedding is like. Like I wouldn't be very traditional and I wouldn't want to be given away. I don't know if I'd necessarily wear white. And I wouldn't get married in a church. But I do think it's an amazing commitment to make to someone. But I do think that it's, I hope that culturally its kind of meaning has changed over time, and that's why more and more people can subscribe to it. So I guess that's how I feel about it. Would I like kids in the future? Yes, I think so. I've always thought I wanted children. But actually, weirdly, the kind of older I'm getting, the more it worries me, because I'm like, oh, I've got so much stuff to do. And I've also realized that watching so many people have got pregnant recently and watching people talk about like them wanting to conceive and stuff, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so not there yet. But I didn't necessarily realize that, because if I saw a baby, I'd be like, oh my God, it's so cute. Imagine having a baby. Then actually seeing, I guess, other people, especially on Instagram, announcing pregnancies at my age, it's made me realize that I'm just not at that place in my life, which is fine. But I do think I'd want them in the future, but I don't know when. I haven't got any set in stone plans. Thing is, I always like the idea of like having, when I'm older, my children being grown up. I always like the idea of having like teenagers. I love the idea of having really difficult conversations and having them around the dinner party, having their friends around for dinner parties and stuff. And I kind of ignore the idea of being absolutely exhausted with like toddlers, because that just seems too difficult. What do you do when you feel like you're lost? How do you get through it? Well, normally I feel like it's so much easier because there's distractions and you can go into your friends. And I sometimes feel like just getting out of the environment that you're in can really help. And obviously that last year and probably this year, that's going to be really tricky because we're really stuck in the same place. I really have a thing about physical spaces and your mental psyche. I always feel like just being able to break out of something physically can help you kind of have a bit of a breakthrough mentally. So I think that that really made me quite stagnant last year when I was feeling low and I got quite stuck. But I've started going to therapy, and that has been very helpful and very interesting. But that also did trigger quite like a difficult week or so when I was kind of like processing things. And then I felt sort of like reborn, like a phoenix coming out of the ashes, which was amazing. So going to therapy has been really transformative, but I am paying for it, and that's very expensive. I think that when I'm feeling my lowest, it's actually communicating with people around me that I'm feeling that way. And then, because a lot of the time if I feel low, I then feel really guilty that I'm feeling low and that I might be ruining other people's mood or that I'm not being myself. And sometimes just expressing to someone else that I'm feeling low almost takes the burden of it, and I almost kind of feel better immediately. Kind of like a problem shared as a problem halved seems to work for me. And then just trying to get through it and knowing that it will go away, even though that's hard to remember sometimes. You know, next question is an interesting one. How do you feel about offensive humor? Should we not be allowed to say certain things? I'm quite easily offended, I've realized, on behalf of other people in comedy. Not in terms of like, I'm going to do anything about it. I just sometimes watch comedy and can't make myself laugh if I find that it's not that funny. But I listened to Frankie Boyle on Louis Theroux recently, which I thought was quite an interesting thought experiment on offensive comedy. And he was just basically saying how like some comedy is designed for certain senses of humor, and then it's sort of like pushed into the mainstream media and used to like, with the intention of creating offense for people who would never have sought out that kind of comedy. So I wonder if that's kind of part of the problem, in that we just perhaps shouldn't be accessing some of this stuff. I do think there are certain things you can't say. I'm kind of of the school of thought that, like, for instance, women can make jokes about sexism, but we should never sort of be making jokes about people that we have more privilege than. I always think that's kind of like a safe place to start. Or you can make jokes about something that's your own personal experience, but not someone else's. So I do think that maybe there is a joke in everything, but it's who's making the joke and what is the intention with the joke. But I don't know how I feel about it, because I often kind of get into mini debates about that with some of my friends, especially guys, because there is some stuff that I'm just like, I don't think that's funny, but some people do. Where do you get your clothes style inspo from? Good question. I am obsessed with Emmalou Connolly. She is a model and I think she's really cool. I love early Kate Moss. Matt's just come and smiled at me. Who's your style icon, Matt? Who do you get style inspo and clothes inspiration from? Matt says no, and he's unique. I like to look at pictures of Sienna Miller in her boho chic era. Basically, this is why I'm thinking about that. I've got really obsessed with the Primrose Hill set and like looking up that era of celebs, that gang. And at the minute, I'm just feeling very nostalgic for that kind of vibe. So I don't know. I guess lots of things. I really like people who have eccentric dress sense. I want to be a really smart, neat fashion blogger dresser, but my eye is naturally drawn to things which are quite bright and sparkly and a bit out there. So I do sometimes literally base a look off something in a film or someone that I love, and other times it'll just be putting on clothes that kind of catch my eye. And sometimes I look back through my Instagram and I'm like, this, I have no real sense of style. Like, all of my outfits are quite different, but it's what I wanted to wear on that day, even if in like a month's time I'm like, what the fuck was I wearing? I know that at the time I enjoyed it. So I guess that's what I think is important with style, is rather than following trend-led fashion, it's like, what are you going to put on that day that fits your mood and makes you feel good? Honestly, half the outfits I wear, I'm like, that is the worst thing I've ever seen. And it was like a week before. I don't know. I do get inspo, but it's also just I get drawn to things and want to put them on immediately.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do I have any New Year's resolutions or goals for 2021? I do. Some of them are really boring because I was like, I don't want to plan too big because obviously, again, we don't know what's going to happen, but I really, really want to get into running because the gyms are definitely going to be closed on and off again. And I actually do enjoy running when I'm doing it. I keep stop starting. Like every time they open the gyms, I'd stop running. But this year, I want to consistently try to run. I actually do love it. And what stops me from running is when I think I'm going to do a shit run. So I want to make myself go for a run, whether that's 1K, 2K, 5K, 10K. No matter how fast it is, I want to try and do a run 3 times a week. Just because it's such a solid thing to get better at. And I noticed that when I'm in a rhythm with running, my runs are always a tiny bit faster, and it's so enjoyable to see that progress. And I love getting sweaty, and it's good to get out in fresh air. And I think it's really good for your mental health. So that's my number one thing. My second thing is to try and start doing a bit of yoga again to complement the running and to kind of look after my body and have that bit of calm exercise and winding down. Matt and I did so much at the beginning of lockdown. And then kind of nothing after that. The next thing is to grow my hair. I just want my hair to be really healthy. I just, it's something I feel like doing. So I bought some Olaplex and I'm not going to diet this year because my hair's, I go through quite funny phases with my hair. And every few years I kind of do this thing where I want to grow it really long. And then probably like in 2 years time, I'll cut it short again. I always go in the cycle. So that's a boring aesthetic one. But again, it's something that you can kind of monitor, and it's like looking after a Tamagotchi, but it's your hair, just trying to keep it healthy. The next thing I want to do, which is really exciting, and I bloody should have started, but as I said, I'm going to start my Neo, and I can't remember if I did say that actually, but I'm going to start Neo on Monday, is I'm going to write for 30 minutes every morning. I have an idea for something that I want to be writing, and there's a really, I've listened to lots of authors speaking about how you just have to write every day, just set aside a time block. So I want to do minimum of 30 minutes first thing when I wake up in the morning. On my laptop, doesn't matter if it's dribble, whatever it is, I'm going to do that. And then obviously if I keep writing over the 30 minutes, I will. But the main thing is just writing for 30 minutes. I have my 52 books goal again. I didn't hit it this year, but I think it's a nice target to set. So I'm going to try and do that. I would like to gig once a month, a comedy gig, if possible. Like not necessarily Mine and Grace's gigs, but like little comedy shows, like work in progress shows, things that people do at the beginning of their comedy career. Because I really want to learn the trade, kind of like, is that the right saying for comedy? Do you know what I mean? I don't want to kind of think that just because I have an Instagram platform, I can suddenly perform to have many people buy tickets. I really do want to earn my craft. I always get the saying wrong. I don't know what it is. Anyway, I'm sure you'll tell me. And then my last thing is to write an hour-long comedy show, which I want to try and take to the Fringe if it happens. So those are all of my goals for 2021. I normally I suppose that is kind of like my normal amount. I always write, I love writing goals at the beginning of the year. I normally write them in the front page of my diary, but I haven't got a diary this year because I normally go and get it in Anthropology in the sale at the end of Christmas and shops aren't open. So I need to get one. But I always write down big goals and manageable goals and try and tick them off. What's something you wish you could tell your 18-year-old self now, like first year of uni? Oh, uni was a really, actually, when I look back on it, really difficult time for me. I was like kind of, I'm learning all this like coming out of therapy, but I came from like quite a complicated place in my life to going to uni, and I was a bit lost. But I think that I just tell myself to stop worrying so much about what other people thought and about things that I couldn't control. But uni was really formative for me, and that the minute that I left uni, I was a completely different person. It was really weird. It was like I went on this whole journey, and I was quite naughty, and suddenly it was like, it was a bit like what I was saying about leaving an environment. I left Cardiff, I left uni, and I went to London and sort of just grew up really quickly. Not in all senses. Like obviously I'm completely not mature now, but it was amazing how that almost feels like a time capsule, my uni experience, of like a very specific version of myself who's completely different from who I am today. And some of it was really difficult. I had some really difficult relationships, and I found lots of uni very hard. But at the same time, I don't know if I'd done it differently, again, coming back to that butterfly effect thing, if it would have helped. So I think I would have just said to myself not to worry so much and that it'll be fine in the end. And I also think that I was really anxious at uni but didn't have the language for it, and it came out in lots of ways that were a bit unhelpful. So maybe I would have told myself to try and seek counselling at uni or something, because I was a bit lost. But I wouldn't want to change anything, because I feel like, as I said, it was very formative. Is it totally gross to fancy a 20-year-old if I'm 28? Lol. And this is a good question. I think so, but I'm a bit of a weirdo about age gaps. I just think it's a bit odd, but maybe that's why I've always gone out with someone who's very close to my age. Only because also, if I look back to me being 20, I was so young that I can't imagine ever going out with 28-year-olds. But it's really person dependent. I think I was like a child when I was 20. So yes, but I mean, there's lots of people who are really happy in massive age gap relationships. So I don't know. Someone said, what is my opinion on drugs? I think they should be decriminalized. I think that we need better education about them. I think that we should recognize how damaging the drug trade is for so many people in countries outside of the UK, if that's where you're importing your drugs to, and how, you know, we only see kind of the tip of the iceberg, but drug-related crime and death, the impact is huge. But at the same, so that's like the kind of, obviously, really negative thing about drugs. I actually don't think that the part of drugs that obviously I think is detrimental is the fact that so many people lose their lives and it's so dangerous to be a drug dealer. I actually think a lot of drug rhetoric is bullshit. Like, I don't know, like weed, for example, obviously I'm imagining that that will become legalized everywhere. But I think lots of drugs in of themselves aren't as harmful as media would like to portray them. But it's the fact that they're illegal and so cut with loads of crap and therefore very dangerous. I think that the whole media spin on drugs needs to be changed. Like this war on drugs is all bullshit. And I have lots of thoughts on drugs. And I hope that if I do have children, by the time I have children, that there'll be a better kind of awareness around drugs. And because they're so rife, like everyone knows that there are millions of people doing drugs all the time, and in lots of friendship groups it's like I have certain friendship groups who all do drugs, I have some friendship groups who none of them do drugs. And I think it's a funny balancing act that the media do, pretending that sort of like it's very fringe, when actually we know that, you know, a lot of the raves and parties and things that go on in lots of places are designed around drug culture and always have been. So I don't know, I think it's very interesting. Obviously, drugs can be very damaging to certain individuals. Obviously, they can have huge impacts on your mental health if you are using and abusing them, like any other addiction to any mind-altering substance. But that includes alcohol and, you know, prescription drugs and things. So I think it's a very complex, nuanced conversation. I just can't believe how we were taught about drugs in school. And then you're let out into the world with those really kind of made up beliefs around drugs. I don't know if that makes sense to anyone else, but that's my unqualified opinion. Oh God, I've been talking for ages. I'm going to try and do not too many more about me. That's so funny. It's not funny, but someone said, if you knew you were going to die at the end of next year, how would you spend 2021? Matt, I actually asked Matt this the other day, oddly. I said, if you had a year to live, what would you do? And he said, travel and spend loads of time with your family and friends and stuff. And I have to agree, I think we just had loads of fun. But I always find those thought experiments quite depressing because it makes you realize how much work, although not my work, I have to say, I love like pretty much every aspect of my job. But I think for other people, when you realize that if you had a year left, that you wouldn't do any work at all, it makes you sad to think how much of our lives we spend doing work when actually, I know it's a necessity. What I mean by that, I guess, is the form that work takes and the hours that it takes up in our lives is disproportionate to how much joy it brings us in truth. Maybe that's a bit too philosophical. I'm having like a 4-day hangover right now. I feel like it makes me really deep. Oh yeah, so if I knew I was going to die, how to spend 2021, let me just go back to that. Honestly, I think I'd just see all of my friends have loads of fun parties, go traveling, be quite reckless. I probably would be quite reckless actually if I knew I was going to die. Yeah, go wild. What is my current favourite snack? Well, at the minute it's the chocolate biscuits. We've got them coming out of our bum holes. That's a gross thing to say. I don't know why I said that. Okay, enough of me chatting in what I think is quite a somber tone. I don't know. Maybe this will send you sleep, which is helpful if it does that as well. So let's listen to you, what you have to say in the confessions dilemmas section of my Instagram stories. Someone said they ghosted a guy from Tinder, then he made up that I had gave him herpes to get me back. That is just opened up lots of questions for me. Did you get back with him because you felt bad because he made you think you'd given him herpes? Do you not actually have herpes? Very interesting tactic. I haven't heard that one before. Someone said, I'm dating this guy. When I first met him, he slept with another girl. I'm fine with that, but he always likes her Instagram photos, all bikini shots, selfies. I personally would... actually, I don't know. If the pictures were quite provocative, then I might be a bit like, if they are friends... then I don't know, there's so much context needed here. If they had a one night stand and then he's liking loads of really, really sexy pictures of her, I think that might be a bit past the line because I personally wouldn't like a guy's sexy photos that I'd slept with. But if it was my really good friend or someone that I'd slept with and they put up nice pictures of themselves, then I would like them. Do you know what I mean? I think it's context. But I also think in a relationship, you kind of have to be able to go, this makes me feel really uncomfortable. Do you understand why? And then if he's like, oh my God, I didn't realize, so sorry, I'm just liking them, then that's fine. I think always chatting about things and saying when things make you feel a certain way. Because also I think part of the problem with like jealousy and like feeling funny in these situations is that it can feel quite shameful. And once you talk about it, the shame kind of goes away. So I think that that's a good thing to think about. how to keep reignite the spark in a long-term relationship. I think that you have to be actively trying to be respectful towards each other. I think that you can't just go through the motions of being together. You have to kind of really make sure that you are being really present in each other's company. I think what happens, especially like when you live together, what we found is that like you can very easily kind of slip into just being around each other without actually being with each other. And I think in order to be happy and fulfilled, you have to put in real effort into your relationship. You know, I feel guilty about moving out and leaving my parents with an empty nest. What do I do? You can't feel guilty about that. You've got to spread your wings and fly. Empty nest syndrome is definitely a thing, but I'm sure that they will be able to deal with it. And also probably be nice to them in the long run, you know, getting a bit of their life back in a certain way. Advice on furnishing, decorating a small flat. I would say to use Pinterest and go on Instagram, find people's houses that you like, and then save items and try and find them on eBay or Facebook Marketplace, and do it slowly over time. I think if you haven't got a big budget, then it's often going to take a lot more time. Obviously, if you've got loads of money, you can just kind of splash out and buy exactly what you want. But I found that there's certain things that I like that I know I can't afford, so I wait to find like an alternative or do it more slowly over time. And there's really clever ways that you can bring a room to life if you're renting. I think like with plants and prints. I love mirrors. I think mirrors really add spaces. And you can get really cool stuff in secondhand shops that just kind of add a bit of you to your place. Constantly thinking about my ex, even though you ended it 4 years ago. Lol. I think that I know that I have friends like this that you just kind of, you can't ever really get them off your mind. I think that maybe it's because you're holding on to an idea of what you thought they would be. And maybe it's really important that you try and let that go and realize that time has moved on. Although sometimes our subconscious is really weird and just makes you think of stuff really randomly. I don't really understand. Oh, this sad one. I don't know if I'm falling out of love with my boyfriend or if lockdown is killing our vibe. I think that lockdown's been really difficult for couples because of kind of what I just said before, where you're sort of like around each other so much that you lose that sense of excitement when you see each other. And I think that it can take so much of a toll because you do need space. I personally really need space. I find it very difficult if I don't have some sort of space in a week to myself, just with my own thoughts and doing my own thing. And maybe if you guys could find a way to not take a break at all, but just have space from each other and then organize something really exciting like a date night. Even if you just try and like ignore each other a bit, if you live together, and then come back together and try to like save up all the things that you've done that week and tell them to each other rather than, you know, like just chatting to each other throughout the day and making it feel like more of an event. I think that definitely I wouldn't jump on something so quickly. It could also be that lockdown has shown you that maybe you are falling out of love with your boyfriend, but I think that sometimes these things, you just got to take them slowly. And lockdown has given me a head fuck on so many different things this year. By the way, I can't see the wood from the trees and don't really know what I'm thinking or feeling about stuff. So I definitely think it's such a tricky situation. But good luck. My boyfriend of 3 years gave me the family heirloom diamond earrings necklace. Can I reset it? I think you definitely have to ask the family. I'm not sure. I think if you... it depends how long ago he gave it to you. I think if you'd had it for like 20 years, you could be like, oh my God, I'm going to reset it because I'm definitely going to give it to my kids. But I guess after like 3 years, what if you broke up? Would they not want it back? I don't know. I would feel bad doing that, I think. But it depends on what the family said, you know? Someone else said, in a loving relationship, all perfect, but still feel drawn to flirt, half date other men. Maybe you're polyamorous. Maybe that's something that you need to investigate. Junior doctor job in UK for 2 years, but boyfriend can't come. I don't know if I should go. Really love him and scared 2 years is long, too long. Oh my God, that's really difficult. I think you also asked me this on my one, like, would I do this? Would I leave the country for 2 years for my dream job if Matt couldn't come? Maybe. It's so difficult to say. It depends. If this dream job, so say for instance, I got offered, I'm trying to think of an example. What would my dream job be? If I got offered like an incredible show, like a comedy show in New York for 2 years and Matt had to stay here, would I take it? I think I would take it. And I just hope that we could see each other enough. But it would depend on if we could afford to fly to see each other often enough. It would depend how long distance the flights are. I don't know where you live. I sometimes think you've got to take those opportunities when they're going to come. And if your relationship's going to work, it's going to work. Difficult one. I think I would go. I'm feeling very conscious that it has just been my voice and my voice alone for like 40 minutes. So I think I'm going to try and round this off. I guess with just a little roundup to say, again, Happy New Year. And I hope that 2021, we can all realize some stuff like Kylie Jenner did in 2016. Whenever I do questions or confessions or anything, it's always kind of the same things, which is basically just that we're all very much still figuring out life and figuring out what we want to be doing, figuring out who we are, who we love, what we want to do. And I don't really know if those questions ever stop coming or if they just change shape as we get older and evolve and change as we grow. God, I'm being so philosophical. That's such a big claim to make. I'm just being really deep and loserish because I'm in a bit of a funny frame of mind right now. I hope that you haven't got absolutely bored out of your mind listening to this. I hope that you're excited to listen to some incredible guests this year. I'm excited to keep on creating the podcast. And as always, I would absolutely adore it if you've made it this far into this episode, if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It helps me to keep creating, to keep getting guests, and to just keep talking into your ear holes about stuff. But again, we will be back with guests next week. I hope this hasn't been too boring. Okay, love you. Bye.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.